international success coach and noted author, Constance Arnold, delivers life-changing strategies through her own spiritual practices, as well as with best-selling authors and experts she interviews. Think, Believe, and Manifest is specially designed to empower your mind and your words to work for you and to bring about the life you've been dreaming of. And now, here's Constance Arnold.
Well, hello everyone, and welcome to the Law of Attraction Radio Network. And of course, I am Constance Arnold, your most gracious host. And today, I am broadcasting from wonderful, beautiful Atlanta, Georgia. And I am so grateful that you have joined me from all over the world. And you know, I say every Sunday, I believe that if you are listening to this recording, that the Spirit has attracted you here just so that you can hear the answers, the solutions, and the strategies that you possibly have been praying for about your life. So once again, I'm excited that you've joined me. Well, I am pre-recording this show because, as you know, once this show airs, I am actually in Palm Springs, California for the Law of Attraction Radio Network Conference, and just so excited about that. And so I knew that I had to pre-record the show today. Well, today in Atlanta, it is a beautiful spring day. I'm looking out of my window and the trees are becoming green. And it's just a beautiful time of the year here in Atlanta, and I am really enjoying it. Once again, I want to thank all of you for your wonderful emails from all over the world telling me how the Think, Believe, and Manifest show is really changing and shaping your life. And just this week, I met one of my listeners. As a matter of fact, I was at the hair salon, and one of the ladies in the other room had been listening to me for years, and she heard my voice, and she couldn't believe it. So it was quite wonderful meeting her. And of course, you know, I just love hearing from you. And so if this show is shifting and changing and really enlightening your life, you can email me at Constance@FulfillingYourPurpose.com. And of course, you know, you can go to my website, FulfillingYourPurpose.com, and take a look at some of the tools that I have designed just with you in mind. And you know, I was telling someone this week that really everything that I designed really came out of my own life. It comes out of my own life, many times my own struggle, my own enlightenment, and my own journey and path. For example, my recent book, Attracting Love Into Your Life, that's 25 years of my own life. And many of the strategies and principles that I share with you really have brought me from, you know, really devastating places, you know, really negative ways of thinking. For example, the one principle that I talk about in imagination really helped me to shift and change my self-concept of myself, because for many, many years, how I viewed myself, my self-concept and self-esteem wasn't very well, but I used and understood the power of imagination, and I deliberately and consciously began to shift and change the movie in my mind and the pictures in my mind. So whatever products I'm presenting to you really come from my own place of healing. So once again, go to FulfillingYourPurpose.com. And after these quick commercials, I'm going to be right back with my wonderful guest.
You're listening to Law of Attraction Radio Network, enhancing the well-being of millions of listeners worldwide. LOARadionetwork.com is heard through 25 different internet radio stations, as well as iTunes Radio, Stitcher.com, and our mobile apps. The Law of Attraction Radio Network, your trusted source of daily inspiration at loaradionetwork.com.
Well, I am back, and I am really excited about my guest tonight. And I know you're probably saying, Constance, you're always excited, and guess what? You are so right. You know, I certainly believe in divine connections, and this particular guest, I think his PR person sent me some info about him, and I really was attracted to the title. And so my guest today is Mr. Jonathan Robinson. He is a psychotherapist, best-selling author of 10 books, my goodness. He lives in Northern California. He has reached over 250 million people around the world, and many of his articles have appeared in USA Today, Newsweek, and the Los Angeles Times. In addition, he's been on Oprah, CNN, and other national talk shows. His first book, The Experience of God, included interviews with such notable people as the late Mother Teresa, the Dalai Lama, Deepak Chopra, Scott Beck, and many more. But tonight we're going to be talking about his new book, Find Happiness Now, 50 Shortcuts for Bringing More Love, Balance, and Joy into Your Life. And I'm really excited about that. So Jonathan Robinson, welcome to the Law of Attraction Radio Network.
Thank you, Constance. It's a pleasure to be here.
So you are calling from what city, Jonathan?
I am calling from a city of 123 people called North San Juan.
123 people. That's my neighborhood, Jonathan.
That's some people's apartment complex.
So interesting. And so I just have so many questions for you because, you know, I really love your title, Finding Happiness Now. And then just a brief paragraph that I wanted to read to our listeners is that you find happiness now, 50 shortcuts for bringing more love, balance, and joy into your life. And I love this study. Studies show that the number one factor that leads to more money, health, and love is happiness. And highly happy and highly fulfilled people make approximately $750,000 more over the course of their lives than unhappy people in the same jobs. And they also live 9 years longer and are more likely to find lasting love. So this is just so interesting. So tell us a little bit about who you are. How did you come up on this wonderful discovery of happiness?
Well, I had the great advantage of growing up in a highly dysfunctional family, which made it so that by the age of 13, I was severely depressed and even suicidal. And from that rock bottom place, I decided that I needed to really try something different. So I got into self-help at age 13 during my midlife crisis. And which that at 13 is a good time to have a midlife crisis to get it over with. Yeah, so I started reading self-help books and meditating and doing hypnosis and yoga and trying all kinds of stuff. And a lot of it didn't work, but after reading about 700 books over a course of about 10 years, I found methods that really were amazingly simple and could be done in under 2 minutes a day, which was important because I'm kind of lazy. And I found that they really helped make me a lot happier. And once I was a lot happier, then I was able to get my work out to millions of people because I found that that's what other people really want as well.
So true. I mean, Jonathan, at 13, I was still playing with my dolls. And so this is just so interesting. So what makes this book on happiness unique?
Well, a lot of books deal with just a theory, and they might give one or two ideas that are very practical. But what I tried to do is it's kind of a greatest hits of all the best methods that can be done in under 2 minutes a day that can really impact your life. Because I'd read books and, you know, I'd read 400 pages and I'd get one good idea. Mm-hmm. Well, after reading a couple thousand books, I put all my favorite ideas in this one book. So, you know, you don't have to read the whole book. It deals with very practical solutions to very practical things, like how to go from stressed out to blissed out in under a minute, or how to stay motivated to lose weight, or how to feel overwhelming gratitude in your daily life. Very specific methods that are very simple, and I was frustrated that other books generally didn't have those specific doable steps that really made a difference.
So let's talk about some of those methods or principles. What can you share with people all over the world about some of the principles that you shared in your book about how to feel really good and how to be happy?
Well, there are two things. There are the principles, like what really in general leads to people being happy, and then there are specific techniques. But let's start with the principles. There's really five principles that lead to happiness, and one is that you focus a fair amount of time on having quality relationships. People who have quality relationships tend to be happy, and people who don't have that are often depressed. So making relationships a priority is important. Another thing is that you find a hobby or something that you do, like in your case, Constance, your work, where you really, it brings you a sense of meaning or a sense of purpose in life. For some people, that's their spiritual path. For other people, it might be just something that they just lose themselves in. You know, it might be a sport or something like that. So that's another thing that's helpful. A third thing is having goals that are meaningful to you and a sense of accomplishment from those goals. A fourth thing is that you give your time, you give yourself time for pleasure. You know, a lot of times in this busy world we live in, we don't take time for pleasure. We take time for our work and cleaning our house, but sometimes that gets put on the back burner, so that's important. And last but not least, that you find some activity that you are basically able to engage in that you lose a sense of time in. For me, that might be playing with my dog, or it might be playing tennis, or it might be writing, which I love to do. So those are five principles that have been shown to lead to a happy life. But it's important that you put your hope and energy in the right place, because if you put all your time and energy into just getting things done, then you don't have time for the good stuff, and that's what a lot of people end up doing nowadays.
So what if people listening, maybe they don't have relationships, so should they just identify that and, you know, really begin to work on that particular principle in order to begin to bring, you know, more happiness and fulfillment into their lives?
Absolutely. You know, by focusing on the area of relationships or the other principles, you'll get a lot of bang for your buck. Meaning, when I was 13, I had no friends, and it was easy when you have no friends to feel depressed. But as soon as I got just one friend, my depression lifted, and I was no longer suicidal. So a little bit of effort in that direction can sometimes make a huge difference.
Okay, so now share some methods. We talked about the principles. What are some practical things? And it sounds easy that people can begin to do under 2 minutes to bring more happiness into their lives.
Well, there's 50 methods in the Find Happiness Now book. I'll talk about a few of them,
okay,
including some stories associated with them. But it's important for people to realize that one method may not work for everybody. That's why I gave 50 methods, because all you really need is one method to really change how you feel. You know, some of these methods are like my best friends. They're things I do every day. And some of them people would certainly be familiar with, and some they would have never heard before. But by trying out a few of these methods, you can find the one or two or five or ten that really make a huge difference for you. So let me give examples of one people have heard of, and then I'll go into ones people haven't heard of.
Okay.
One method is simply to sing along or dance with your favorite songs. You know, it's hard to feel bad if you're singing Twist and Shout by the Beatles. You know, that
right.
just makes you feel good. So that's simple. I have a playlist on my iPod of my favorite rock and roll songs. And all I have to do is press play, and those songs take me into a place where I feel really good inside. So that's simple.
And you know, Jonathan, it's so interesting that the Happy Song by Pharrell Williams is like the number one song globally right now.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Yes, it is. And every time I hear that song, it makes me want to get up and dance. And obviously, it's impacting people all over the world because it's been number one for like 8 or 10 weeks. And just when you shared that, that really brought that back to my memory.
Right, right.
Yeah.
You know, another simple idea that people know about but they don't necessarily use is this idea that you could schedule time each week for the things that you enjoy. You know, people schedule their work and their doctor's appointments, but they don't necessarily schedule time with their best friend or time to play with their dog or time to go to the yoga class. So I think it's important in this crazy busy world we live in to schedule those types of things. And that can bring more happiness because you're doing what really is meaningful to you. Another one that is common but people don't use enough is doing simple acts of kindness for a stranger or a friend. When you do an act of kindness for a stranger or a friend, it boosts your own happiness level rather dramatically, and it makes other people feel good as well. So when I was talking to the Dalai Lama many years ago, I asked him why he's so happy. And he said, well, first, I focus on it. I make it a priority. And second, I meditate every day, which helps me to be happy. And third, I do acts of kindness, and nothing makes me happier than doing acts of kindness. So that was a good lesson for me, and I've tried to incorporate that into my own life.
So let me ask you something. You know, it seems like that in the U.S., I remember someone saying that we have more money and more things, but we're not as happy.
Right.
So why do you think, is it just America? Why do you think that more people are unhappy or seem to be unhappy and on antidepressants?
Uh-huh.
When we have more money and more things, and can money make you happy?
Well, studies show that money can make you happy if you're poor. But once you're middle class, more money does not make you happier. So the problem is that in this American culture we're in, or I call it the American culture, we're taught to believe that as soon as we have more money or the right relationship or silkier hair, then we'll be happy. And we get caught in that treadmill of as soon as I get this, then I'll be happy. But the only time you can really be happy is now. That's why I called the book Find Happiness Now. And there are specific methods that can help you to tune into now and feel grateful for what you have. You know a lot about the law of attraction. And in a conversation I had with Oprah, I asked her how did she go from where she was to where she is now? And she said, I focused on the blessings that I had right now and felt grateful for them. And that tended to attract more success and more people who wanted to help me. And in fact, I have a funny story about gratitude.
Okay.
You know, years ago when I was doing those interviews of spiritual leaders, the number one thing they said led to a connection with spirit was focusing on being grateful. So many years ago, I heard of an Indian guru who supposedly had this great mantra that helped people to feel overwhelming gratitude. So I made a pilgrimage all the way to India to meet this guy. And, you know, I traveled 18,000 miles and, you know, traveled several hours by rickshaw to his ashram and then waited in line to meet him for about 5 hours. And I was kind of jet-lagged and worn out, but I was excited to meet him. And I said, you know, Guruji, what is your magical mantra that helps people to feel gratitude in their lives? And he said, yes, my mantra is the most powerful mantra on earth. And then he leaned in to whisper the mantra in my ear, and he said, whenever possible, repeat the following words in your head. The mantra I give you are the words, thank you. Mm. Well, I said, that's it? Thank you? I traveled 18,000 miles to get the word thank you? That's it? And he said, no, that's it is a mantra you have been using. My mantra are the words, thank you, not that's it. That's it will take you nowhere. But thank you will quiet your mind and open your heart. And, you know, I was admittedly, you know, pretty pissed off because
of course
I wanted something better than that. But I traveled so far, I decided I would actually do what he said. So he told me to say thank you from my heart for each thing life gave to me as I was doing it. So, you know, I said thank you to the person who got me a cup of tea. And then I said thank you for the air conditioning, you know, because it was hot in India. And thank you from my heart for this air conditioning. That's a blessing. And then, you know, later on, I went on the Internet to email my wife. I said thank you for the Internet and thank you for this computer. And thank you that my legs are working that got me here. And thank you that I'm not sick today. And thank you that I have money to pay for all this. And thank you for this food that's being brought to me. And it was interesting, Constance. Within half an hour, I had tears of gratitude coming down my face from just recognizing all these blessings that you and I have that we normally take for granted. And, you know, it's there. It's just that we don't pay attention to it. And you need a simple technique. And what I like about the thank you technique is that it doesn't take any extra time. And there is so much that we can be grateful for. You and I live better than billionaires lived 20 years ago because we have better health care. We have access to more information and shows like this that are free and the internet and all kinds of stuff. But if you don't have the right technique, it can all just, you know, become invisible to you. And that's why, you know, focusing on gratitude and the blessings in your life can be a way to feel more joyous.
So true. Those are just great stories. So what about someone who's saying, well, Jonathan, all of that sounds really good, but I've just had major setbacks in my life, and right now in my life I'm in a real difficult place. What would you say to those people?
Mm-hmm. Well, when you go to the gym, you lift weights. You don't curse the weights. You put the weights there because you want to get stronger. And in the same way, difficulties in our life can be used to create more emotional muscles and more spiritual muscles. Now, I wouldn't wish that on people, but when I look back on my life, you know, I was not just a depressed kid, but I was a beaten kid. My stepfather used to beat me. And when people ask me, how did I reach so many people and write so many books, I tell them that, well, I really owe my success to my stepfather who helped motivate me to be a better person. And it's true, that's how I look at it, that he did, although that was a hard time in my life, he did indirectly help me to strive for something better than what was being offered in our family. And there are techniques in the Find Happiness Now book that help people to neutralize bad news or to let go of negative emotions or to change their attitude about something. For example, a very simple technique is the question, what could potentially be good about this? Mm. And, you know, a couple months ago, I went to the airport and it ends up they did not have my ticket in this computer. and I had to be on this flight. So I had to pay $4,000 to get to New York one day, whereas my ticket normally would have been like $400. I was pretty upset, but I kept on using the technique, what could be good about this? And it ends up that not only did they pay me back the $4,000 because it was their mistake, but I wrote a story about it that ended up in the New York Times, and a couple million people read that story, and all kinds of good things happened from it in that I met certain people that have impacted my life because of that that inconvenience. So you never really know how the story ends. And by asking that question, what could potentially be good about this, it makes you less sure about that something might be bad or might be a real setback.
Well, you know, a lot of people want to know about how can I attract more money.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I love the principle that you shared on your website about studies have shown that when you're happy that you make more money. So should people first endeavor or make a decision, I'm going to be happy, and from that place you attract more money, because everybody wants more money. So what's your take on money and abundance and prosperity?
Well, my take is that certainly happy, you know, people would rather do business with somebody who's happy than somebody who's depressed and complaining. So certainly being a happy person does help. I'm not talking about being happy all the time. You know, I get upset. But, you know, some people just seem to have more juice to them. You just want to spend more time around them because they seem to be fun to be with and they're more joyous. So that certainly helps. And Oprah's story to me, that she started to feel grateful for what she did have, meaning she didn't have much. And I did this too. You know, 20 years ago, I was living in a 1967 Dodge van. And I started to feel grateful for what I had. You know, I had the van, I had my health, I had friends. And by focusing on gratitude, it did help me to become more abundant. And a third thing which I think helps is knowing how to stay motivated over a long period of time. And most people don't know how to do that, so it's hard for them to consistently make money. And I cover some methods for doing that in my book that are helpful. And that's a key thing. You know, if you want to be successful, if you want to lose weight, or if you want to do anything that's a little bit difficult, it really helps to know how to stay motivated.
Well, you know, so many people set very lofty goals at the beginning of the year, and then it's here it is April, and a lot of people have just released those goals. And so how can we stay motivated, Jonathan, and just really consistently and deliberately move toward our goals?
Uh-huh. Well, I'll give two motivation techniques.
Okay.
Obviously, more is mentioned in the book. But one way is, you know, many years ago I had no money, but I decided I wanted to travel around the world. So what I did was I started to tell everybody that on February 12th, I was going to take a year off and travel around the world. I told everybody. I told my friends. I told my family. I told the person sitting next to me at the bus stop. And I eventually told so many people that I even convinced myself that I was going to go. Problem was I had no money. But I did realize that if I was in the USA on February 13th of that year, everybody I know would think that I was a loser for having not gone.
Mm-hmm.
And that got me motivated because nobody wants to be humiliated. So just the fact that I gave myself a deadline and I told people I was going to do this, that got me really motivated to make money, because sometimes the fear of embarrassment or humiliation can be a really good motivator, and that helped me. So that's something people can use, is just tell everybody about your goal, and that will get the ball rolling.
All right, that's great. So what is the link between happiness and spirituality?
Boy, that's a big question. I'm hoping that you can answer that one, but I'll say a few words about that. I think in general, and this doesn't apply to everybody, but in general, people who are happier have an easier time quieting their mind and opening their heart, which would be what I would call spirituality, where you're available to spirit to do what's needed. If you're depressed and you're so busy trying to just survive in the world, that makes it, I think, a little bit harder to surrender to spirit and to find that peace within. So I think that as you become happier, you do enter into more of a place where you can be of service, and therefore they are linked in that way.
You know, I think that's a great answer. And also, what's your take on what is the link between meditation and happiness? When we meditate, does that bring more happiness into our lives? And is meditation one of the practices that you've utilized in your life? And how has that been beneficial to you?
Uh-huh. Well, you know, I started meditating when I was 13, and I'm 54 now. So I've meditated pretty much every day for 41 years. And at first, it was really difficult. You know, I didn't realize my mind was completely out of control and never shut up, but that was, you know, the case we find ourselves in. But over a few months, it started to be peaceful, and then over time, with practice, you get better, and now meditation is my single favorite thing to do, meaning, you know, it's wonderfully blissful. But it didn't start off that way. So I think of it as there are certain behaviors we can do that are like an investment in our future. You know, they may be hard now, but, you know, in the future they're going to pay off big dividends. And meditation's one of those. People who meditate are happier than people who don't. And therefore I think it's good for people to spend a little bit of time each day meditating as a way of de-stressing from modern-day life.
Great answer. And so, Jonathan, what about someone who's desiring love in their lives? Are people who are happier, do they attract love quicker? Or if you're in a relationship and you are usually happy, does that really help to sustain and maintain long-term relationships? So what role does happiness play in love?
Well, statistically, happy people have half the rate of divorce and are twice as likely to say they have met the love of their life than unhappy people. So it does make it, you know, two unhappy people trying to have a relationship together is very unlikely. The best way you can have a really good relationship is first find happiness on your own. That way you don't put such a stress on making somebody else make you happy. You know, that's quite a burden to put all your hope on this person making you happy. And think of it, Constance, half the songs on the radio at least are about how I was a miserable wreck and then I saw you.
So true.
And then my life changed forever, and now I'm going to be happy forever. What a crock of crap that is. You know, it's just not true. I mean, a person might fall in love and be happy for a month, but unless you're happy on your own, you probably are not going to find a really fulfilling relationship. So it's an important investment to learn about happiness and be as happy as you can on your own, and that way you're more likely to attract a really good relationship.
So true. So what is some insight or some statistics on people who are happier? Are they more healthier?
Right. Well, the statistics are really powerful. In fact, I get paid now as a professional speaker to go into corporations and talk about happiness. And the reason I do is because it is an addition to their bottom line, because happy employees use a lot less sick days, and they stay in their job longer. happy people live 9 years longer than unhappy people. 9 years, that's a long time.
Yes.
I personally have not been sick for 14 years. And I go to third world countries a lot. I'm on planes a lot. I just don't get sick. And, you know, people wonder why. And I think it's really because, you know, I generally feel pretty good.
Well, you know, I'm the same way, and I was in the pharmacy just recently, and I was really buying just some general stuff at CVS Pharmacy, and all of the other registers were full, and so I went in the back, and I just sort of did a little cough, and she said, "Are you sick?" And I said to her, "I haven't been sick in years," and uh-huh. She seemed utterly amazed at my statement. And when I heard you share your experience, I believe it is because I am a happy person and optimistic, and if I have difficult days, I'm able to, by the grace of God, turn those around and look at the good that comes from that. And she couldn't believe that I hadn't been sick in years.
Yeah, it, you know, well, if you have the right technology, you know, you eat well and you
Absolutely.
Take supplements or whatever, and you have the good attitude, studies show that those people get sick very, very rarely. And it's common knowledge in the medical field that 80% of sickness is due to stress-related causes. Well, if you're feeling pretty good, stress doesn't, you know, plow you down the way that it does when you feel really not so good.
So true. So, Jonathan, what do you feel makes people depressed? We might have some people listening who might just feel depressed and unhappy, and what can they do?
Well, there's a lot of reasons for depression nowadays. I mean, life can be hard, and there's genetic reasons. There's reasons with frustrated goals or loss of an important relationship. All kinds of things can lead to depression. The real question is, what do you do about it? And there's a multi-billion-dollar-a-year industry of selling antidepressants. Mm-hmm. But antidepressants don't work very well for people with mild or moderate depression. I think rather than relying on a pill, somebody should learn how to let go of their negative emotions more easily and learn ways to be happy. And in fact, studies are now showing that certain methods that take only 2 minutes a day are 10 times more effective than antidepressants in helping people get out of depression. Unfortunately, you can't make a lot of money selling those techniques. So they're not as well known as antidepressants, but they are much more effective and they don't have any unpleasant side effects. I have a technique in the Find Happiness Now book called 3 Good Things. And the method only takes 2 minutes a day, and it has been shown to be 10 times more effective than antidepressants in helping people get out of depression and helping people to feel better.
You know, that's wonderful. And let's talk a little bit about self-esteem, self-concept, loving ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're so critical of ourselves, many people are. I know I was for years. So how can being happy help us to love, value, and appreciate ourselves more?
Well, if you're feeling happy, you probably do feel that. The question, I think, is how do you, when you're not feeling confident and happy, to tune into that easily? And one method I like to use is to ask better questions. You know, a lot of times the question we have going on in our head is, what's the next thing I need to do? Or why am I screwing that up? Well, if you focus on that question, you're not going to feel very good. So I like to ask myself questions like, what am I grateful for? Or what successes have I had recently? Or what am I doing well in my life? And as you focus on that, you'll come up with good answers that will help you to feel more confident and inspired. And when you feel that way, more good things will tend to happen. So questions are a good way to do that. There's other methods as well. such as having your friends tell you what they appreciate about you. Many years ago, I asked my friends to come to a birthday party of mine, but not to bring any presents. And while there, I asked them that instead of giving me a present, what I want them to do is pretend that I died today and you're at my funeral and you're saying all the nice things you would say about me at my funeral. Mm-hmm. And people did, and I recorded it. So now anytime I feel down in the dumps about myself, I can listen to that recording and hear, you know, that I have a lot of good traits as well. So there's certain what I call simple technologies for feeling better about yourself or changing how you feel that are very effective. And I don't always use these. I mean, sometimes, you know, you lose a friend or somebody gets sick that you love. It's appropriate to feel bad. But if you look at little kids, they feel bad, but they don't feel bad for long. They don't stay feeling self-pity for, you know, 2 days because someone took their piece of pie. So what the goal is to feel your feelings and then to be able to let them go so you can get back to the joy and peace which is hidden underneath there all the time.
So would you say joy and happiness are the same? And if not, what would be the difference?
Well, you can use a lot of words to describe similar things. Joy, happiness, a sense of fulfillment, a feeling of being grateful. I think that they're all leading to the same general area. Sometimes I might define joy as more of the feeling that a little kid has in something very simple, whereas happiness is more of your overall contentment in life.
Okay. And you know, so many single parents are raising children and you know, they might have what we call rebellious teenagers and those difficult teenage years. So can a parent raise happy children?
Yes, and there's a secret to raising happy children.
We all Not many are people waiting know for that.
Okay, I'll tell you. The most important thing you can do to raise a happy child is to be happy yourself. Mm-hmm. Money doesn't do it. Going to a good school doesn't do it. But kids tend to be about as happy as their parents. And that's the best thing you can do for your children is to be a happy person. And studies bear this out. But a lot of times people are focused on, you know, thinking that as soon as the child gets into a certain school, they'll be happy. Or as soon as they get a boyfriend or girlfriend, they'll be happy. And that, in a way, teaches them the wrong lesson because happiness is inside you. And all you have to do is let go of some of the obstacles in the way so that you can get back to the joy of being alive.
And so, Jonathan, why do you think that so many teenagers and young people are depressed now?
Well, they're told to put hope in happiness where it is not. Like, if I just looked better, I'd be happy. As if I was just a better athlete, then I'd be happy. If I just got better grades, I'd be happy. If I just had more money, I'd be happy. And that's not what leads to happiness. So if you waste a lot of your energy focusing on finding happiness where it's not, then you won't have much energy to find happiness where it is. And where it is inside you. And there's certain methods ranging from feeling gratitude to kindness to scheduling to all these different things that can help you to tap into the happiness within. You know, a favorite story I know is John Lennon, the ex-Beatle, was asked as a 10-year-old to write an assignment about what he wanted to be when he grew up. And John wrote on a piece of paper that he wanted to be happy. And he turned it in. Well, the teacher came to him and told John that he must not have understood the assignment. And John told his teacher that she didn't understand life.
Wow.
And really, we all want to be happy, but we find all these crazy inefficient mechanisms for trying to be happy, whereas the true things that lead to happiness are things that most people don't focus on.
So true, so true. So would you say that Americans, all of us who live in America, are we less happy compared to other nations? I was looking at something on 60 Minutes, and I forgot what country it was, but they were saying that people in this country were the happiest people in the world. So what country or what people would you say are the happiest people, and why?
Well, studies show that people in places like Sweden, Denmark, and Switzerland, and Costa Rica tend to be the happiest. We're pretty far down on the list, especially for countries that have a good GDP. Mm-hmm. And we're like second highest on the list in terms of depression. So we're not doing that well that way, and there's a lot of room for improvement. You know, some cultures actually encourage people to, like, take care of each other, and they have more of a sense of community, and that's really key for finding happiness, and America really doesn't have much of that for most people.
So you're going to be going to Turkey, and tell us, what are you going to be doing there?
Well, I'm going to go with a bunch of friends, and we're going to be there for a few weeks helping Syrian refugees to, get basic supplies to live and work. And we're going to be working mostly in their schools to help set up a couple of schools, because here they had to leave Syria with just the clothes on their back, and they are trying to set up schools for their children. Most refugees are under the age of 14.
Wow.
So, and people think, oh, well, it's a nice thing to do. Actually, you know, when you're part of a service project, it gives you a sense of meaning. And I'm working with friends, so it gives me a sense of connection. And acts of kindness are a great way to boost your own happiness. So I think of it as an intelligent way being selfish.
Wow, you know, that's great. And, you know, if you get your mind off of yourself, I remember listening to a story of a lady who was depressed, and her therapist said, well, and she loved to bake cakes, and he said, well, okay, go ahead and be depressed, but go and once a week just begin to bake a cake for one of your neighbors. And, of course, she began to do that and began to serve and really got her mind off of herself and how she was feeling. And, of course, we know the end result of that story.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
She became fulfilled and happy. And then lastly, I want to talk to you about pets, because I have a little 5-pound Shih Tzu who is just the cutest thing in the world. Can pets make you happier? And if so, why is that true?
Well, you're wrong about one thing. Your dog must be the second cutest thing in the world, because I believe that my dog is actually the cutest dog in the world.
And what kind of dog do you have, Jonathan?
She's what's called a mini golden retriever.
Okay.
And very cute. And but pets do make people happier, and especially if you have a cute dog like the ones we have. Mm-hmm. And they are a way that, you know, when we take care of something, it helps us to feel love, and nothing feels better than love in the world. So that's an important key. And if you can't take care of a pet, then take care of your neighbor. Take care of a friend, and that will help you to tune into those feelings as well.
No, that's so true. So what is the most important thing that you want people to really get from your book, Jonathan?
I want them to get that there's hope in placing a priority on finding happiness within, and that there's technology for doing that. That's simple, easy, and effective. And that most people don't know those methods. You know, you can always be happier no matter how happy you are. And if you learn a couple methods that really work for you, your life is forever altered. I know mine was.
Right.
And the way American culture teaches us to be happy doesn't have very good results. That's why so many people are either mildly happy or even depressed.
So true. So are you writing any more books? You know, what are you doing in your future? I mean, you've written 10 books, and that's amazing.
Well, that part's easy for me. What I'm working on is, you know, being of service to people, and obviously I'll be going to Turkey next month. But I do have a website that has a lot of free tools in it, a lot of free information and audio downloads on happiness, and people are welcome to go to that and get more information. And if they're interested in the book, they can make a link to the book to get that. And the website's findinghappiness.com.
So you're also a speaker. Is that correct, Jonathan?
Yeah, I do a lot of speaking, and it's really fun to turn people on to these great little methods that bring out more happiness. People are grateful, and it helps remind me as well. So I feel very honored that I get to do that.
And so if someone would be interested in contacting you about speaking, they could also just contact you via your website.
Exactly. Yeah, that's the best way.
Well, you know, I just want to let my listeners know how grateful I am to you, because I had someone else scheduled to interview with, and that particular person got laryngitis. And so I called you, and you were so kind and you were so gracious to say, oh, sure, I can pre-record with you. And I wanted to let you know how much I appreciate that, Jonathan, but how gracious you are. And I think that that's just a great characteristic to have. And I felt that all the way from California, your town of 123 people, all the way here in Atlanta, Georgia, in the South. So I just want to say thank you.
Well, you're very welcome, and yes, great questions, and thanks for your commitment to doing what you're doing.
Well, you're so welcome. Well, once again, this is Constance Arnold with the Think, Believe, and Manifest Talk Show. So grateful that you've joined me again. Remember, you can visit my website at fulfillingyourpurpose.com. And next week, I'm going to be sharing with you about what happened at the Law of Attraction Conference. I'm really excited about that. Email me, Constance@fulfillingyourpurpose.com. Remember, I love and care about you. God loves and cares about you. And guess what? The best is yet to come. You better believe it.
Thank you for listening to Think, Believe, and Manifest. Constance will be back next week with another inspirational show. For more information, go to fulfillingyourpurpose.com or send Constance an email at constance@fulfillingyourpurpose.com.